All right, so we're going to continue on with loving the Lord our God with all of our heart. Personally, I have been loving not just what I'm learning and kind of seeing it happening in my life, but what's also given me a lot of encouragement is you. Like many of you been, having one-on-one conversations with me or emailing me things that you've learning on your own. And hey, this is what I found. Somebody shared a commentary with me, and it had another point that I didn't even consider. And I'm like, man, thank you for sharing that with me. Now take that and share it with somebody else, right? Because that's what's supposed to happen in the community of believers. Like, we're not supposed to cuff it to ourselves. We ought to be sharing it so that everyone can be enriched. Everyone can have this opportunity of spiritual growth, because that's what we're aiming for. We all are aiming to grow spiritually. None of us says, hey, we want to stay right where we are, that we're good until Jesus come back. Right. I hope nobody's thinking like that. But that obviously that's not the goal, right? We want to grow. We want to be able to grow spiritually, to be able to look at scriptures and dissect it and understand it at the best of our ability to whatever is available to us, whether it's resources online, whether it's books, whether it's a combination of that and life experience, all of these things that we'll be given so that we can also share it with others, right? And so that's what we're hoping for. So as we talk about, loving the Lord, your God, actually, I need to do one thing here. So turn that way. There we go. Oh, I need to turn this on too. How about that? Okay. So tonight we're going to talk about a restored heart, right? So this past Sunday, we talked about, having a forgiven heart, and we looked at David, right? At the time where David was at his lowest. And God has allowed him to experience this thing, and now he's on the other side of this, and he wrote that beautiful psalm, and he talked about how blessed it is, right? And he talked about the different things that he experienced and learned during his time of brokenness and during his time of learning about the gravity of his sin. But he also was encouraged and inspired that he was also to share what he learned. And so that's a good thing. And now tonight, we're going to talk about a restored heart, because the thing about a restored heart is that, and I believe many of us can identify with this, right? I believe many of us have experienced a time where we felt like we let God down. Like that we really blew it. Like, it's not like, I just kind of slipped on this and I can get back up and run. Right? Like there's those moments in your walk where your heart becomes so heavy because you recognize the sin before you. Right? And it just burdens you, right? That whether it's a temptation that you've given into, that you know that there was reasons for you not to give into it, but because of your weakness, because of our limitations, because of our selfishness, we took that temptation and made it an actual sin. Like, it wasn't just a temptation no more. It converted to actual sin in our hearts. And in that feeling, in that weight, that invisible weight, just laying on our hearts, laying on our shoulders, we carry that, right? We feel these there's moments of disappointment sometimes. But here's the thing: God is in the business of restoration. That's what he's in the whole Bible. That's what it's all about, from Genesis to Revelation. It's just him, trying to enact the plan to restore what was broken. Us, our hearts, it was broken. And so he's doing all of this to try to restore. And so we want to look at that tonight. Even think about the Israelites for a moment. That's their story. It's all about rebellion, restoration, rebellion, restoration, rebellion, restoration. That's what we can look at. And so when we look at the Israelites, we don't look at them with our nose puffed up and say, well, we wouldn't have done. We won't say, I wouldn't have done that. Yes, you would. Yes, you did. Yes, I did. Right? But we get to also look at the victories as well. We get to experience God's redeeming power. Why? Because of his love, right? His ahava, that undying, almost can't describe deep loyalty that he has for his people, and that we are to reciprocate that to him, that we don't associate that love for no one else or no created thing, but for him alone, that ahava, right? And so God is in the business of restoring. And we talked about the Israelites. And so today, I want to take a pivot and look at the life of Peter, because I got a feeling, like many of you, we can identify with Peter at some point. I think Peter experienced disappointment. I think Peter experienced, I failed miserably. I mean, we're going to get there. We're going to read just how low Peter has gotten. But I want to remind us that as low as it can get, God is in the business of restoration. He's in the business of that. And so as we're going through this, maybe tonight your heart is heavy. Maybe what we talked about on Sunday, maybe kind of moved your heart just a little bit, but not enough to really get it out. Maybe because you're afraid. You're afraid of judgment from God, or you're afraid of judgment from whoever is going to find out about whatever that thing is in your heart. I hope tonight God's word reminds you that he is in the business of restoration. I hope that's what it reminds you tonight. And so let's look at Peter. Let's look at Peter at his low point. So we're going to pick up in Matthew 26, verses 69 to 72. It says, "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were there with Jesus of Galilee,' she said, but he denied it before them all. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied again with an oath, 'I don't know the man.'" Continuing on, "After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.' Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly." I think Peter can relate with feeling like a failure. I think Peter can identify with feeling like, "I'm not enough. I'm not worthy." I think he can identify with that. Remember, Peter boldly proclaimed that he was going to be with Jesus to the end. I mean, he was full of zeal. And now, in a moment where fear overtook him, fear of being associated with Jesus, fear of perhaps I'm going to suffer the same consequences that Jesus is facing or more. And so he decided at that moment that the fear was too great, that he denied the Son of God. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. And the thing about it is, it wasn't even with a lot of pressure. I mean, at least from my perspective. Like, I'm imagining what it would have looked like back then. He's having this conversation with this servant girl. Maybe there was a few people around that could, they're an earshot away and they can kind of hear it. But regardless, what was going through Peter's mind was, I can't do this. I can no longer keep my allegiance to Christ, my ahava. I can no longer carry this. And so when we look at his heart, we see that momentary weakness. We could see that when we allow ahava for God to be rivaled by anything else, that we're going to fall in the same place. We got to recognize there's a weakness within us. There's a weakness to us. We're flesh. Now, of course, we have the Spirit of God in us. Of course, we have access to his power, but we're in the flesh. We're not all spiritual. We're not an ethereal being yet. That's coming on the last day. But today, if you cut me, I'm bleeding. It's gonna hurt. We gotta acknowledge our weaknesses, right? Because our love for God doesn't require perfection, right? It does require a weakness, an acknowledgement of our weakness. Why? Because then it allows us to understand and accept our love for God, that the love that God has for us, that we need that love. If we don't acknowledge our weaknesses, then we won't acknowledge we need that love from God. We won't acknowledge it. If we remain in our stance, if we remain where we are and we don't constantly acknowledge before him that we are weak, that I can't walk three steps on my own strength and thinking I'm gonna make it. Like, that's the mindset that we gotta have. Now, we look at Peter, this happened to Peter, and we can say, yeah, I wouldn't have done that. Well, let's ask those questions about us. We may not have said, I denied Jesus, but when I said this temptation is worth it, that extra look is worth it. When I say that, I'm saying the same thing. I'm just using different words, but it's the same heart. I'm denying him. And so we got to acknowledge our weaknesses. You know, I remember when I was a teen, I got baptized, you know, my senior year in high school. And then a year later, I went to New York. So I'm away from the home church. I'm away from the fellowship. I'm away from my guys that walked with me, you know, my disciple that trained me to be a disciple. I'm away from all of that, and I'm in Brooklyn. And I was so distant from God. Like, I sensed it. I wasn't reading my Bible. I definitely wasn't praying. And I was just going right back to default Kinson in my heart. And there was a point at the end of the summer that I felt like, you know what? I'm gone. Like, I can't do this discipleship thing any longer. So I already decided at that point, I'm done, that I was going to come back to Miami and I was going to call my team leader and I'm letting him know that I'm done. Like, I can't come back to this. And I remember those feelings. I remember that feeling very vividly, that feeling of failure, that feeling of just, I cannot, there's no way to come back from this because I'm too far gone. I remember that. And I look at Peter and I'm like, yeah, I could identify with that weakness. Peter, he also, it says when the rooster crowed, he wept bitterly because he remembered. You see, even in our sin, there's still that opportunity to be broken. As hard as this world tries to get our heart to be, there's still that space that's reserved, that moment. If we're willing to embrace it, we can become broken. And when I look at Peter and I see that, that gives us hope. It should give us hope. Let me say that. It should give us hope because there are people in this world who believe this wholeheartedly that they cannot accept God's love because they've gone too far. They've gone too far out. Matter of fact, there's some disciples who became a Christian. They lived this life and they were at their peak spiritually. And for one reason or another, they left. And when you check in on them, they're not at a different church. They're not, you know, they found a different community that's helping them to grow spiritually. Not most of them. You might find a trickle. You might find a two or three of them that they left, but they're remaining faithful. They just found a different community of believers. More power to you. But majority of the people that I know that left, they're not better. The world has a grip. Has a grip on them. And they believe they can't come back. I can't come back. I can't come back because of judgment. Maybe from God or us. They're gonna judge me for what I've done. They're gonna laugh at me and say, man, you started something, but then you left. I don't know. I'm only imagining if I was on the other side of that coin, what I would think. These are the things that I think about when I think about Peter and this moment, this low point that any of us could be at. Like, I look at Peter and say, nah, I can't say I could never do that. It would never be me. I thank God that it just takes one decision. That's how I look at myself. I'm like, it only takes one decision for me to be completely off track. And so I don't look at Peter with my nose down. I'm like, man, okay, I'm gonna learn from you, man. I want to learn how did you come to this to be the rock again? Well, let's find out, because remember, God is in the business of restoration, right? So now Jesus is already resurrected. And, you know, Peter's just hanging out, you know, trying to figure out what life is going to be like. And here's this interaction in John 21, verse 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, noticing how eating is a part of the restoration here. Notice that there's food. There's food in there. I'm just trying to throw out some hints out here. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, getting all formal with him, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said again, take care of my sheep. Third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Brothers and sisters, this is an important interaction with Jesus and Peter. The same Peter who said, I don't know the man. The same Peter that called curses on himself. I don't know the man. The same Peter who took on an oath before God and man, denied Jesus. Here we are breaking bread. And now I got some questions for you. I'm going to ask you three times. I wonder why. Why am I going to ask you three times? Perhaps kind of want a little jig in the gut to Peter to remind him, hey, remember when you said you ain't know me three times? Maybe. Yeah, you know. We know. But what I love about this is not only did Jesus call him, or not only did he restore him back, but he entrusted him with the most precious of things. He didn't just say, come on, you know, you're restored, but go mop the floors. Earn your way up. Go feed my lambs. Precious to Jesus. Go feed the sheep. Precious to Jesus. He entrusted Peter with the greatest of things. And I look at that and I'm like, Ahava. This is what God was trying to teach the Israelites. that I have a plan. I want you to be my people. And I'm going to pour this into you, and I'm going to be your God. There is no other God before me or after me. I am your God. I am your rescuer. I am your redeemer. This is what he was trying to tell them. This was the message that he was trying to ensue into them. And here we are, Jesus and Peter, replicating that. Jesus is saying, listen, I love you. And I'm going to restore you. And I'm going to entrust you with the most important of things to me, the sheep and the lamb. Now, here's what's interesting about this. When it comes to a restored heart, I love what happens here. If you notice, Jesus asked him three times if he loved them. And two of them is in red. And the rest of the responses you see in green. There's a reason for that. When Jesus asked him twice, do you love me? Remember, ahava is like that ultimate loyalty love that you can have in Hebrew. And so the Greek word to that is agape love. That's the closest thing when you translate it to ahava. And so Jesus is asking Peter twice, do you agape me? That's that unconditional love. But Peter's response is in the green. Though the love that he's replying to, the love that Peter is using is the phileo love, that brotherly love. So I'm asking you if you agape me, but you only love me at this level. And what I love is that Jesus asked him twice. And by the third time, Jesus changed the love. He said, okay, you're not there yet. You're not at agape love yet. So I'm gonna use the love that you're using. I'm gonna meet you where you're at. When I see that, it gives me hope. It tells me that I'm not a finished product. That even at my lowest, Jesus is willing to get lower. He's willing to get lower with me. And he's gonna build me up day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, until I'm at agape level, until I reach that point. So what that tells me is that I don't need to be a finished product when I come back. That when I go out into the world and enjoy the spoils of the world, and I come to realize it's empty, I don't have to come back with this perfection level. Jesus, you're going to meet me where I'm at, and you're going to build me up. Ahava. It's a beautiful thing that Jesus did for Peter. But guess what? He has done that for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have been at a low point. Each and every one of us experienced failure or self-doubt, fear, brokenness. But God is in the business of restoration and redemption. That's who we serve. That's why we can ahava the Lord our God with all of our heart. Because this is who he is. He doesn't have to work. See, I think we got to get to the point of to the agape love. God is already there. He's already there. That's what's so beautiful about this. He is already there. And so the encouragement tonight, if you are at that space that for whatever reason, you believe you cannot be what God is calling you to be, let the restoration of Peter remind you the power that God has, the insurmountable level of love that he has for his people, that he is willing to come down and meet you where you are and walk with you. Walk with you until you're able to run. And then until you're able to fly. Like that's a beautiful thing. And I'm so inspired when I see this, and I'm so encouraged, and I'm reminded, because again, I know I've been there. I've been in some low places spiritually, but my God has walked with me. He lifted me up. And so, again, what I love about the scriptures is that it's not just words. It's not just a great idea or a book that someone put together and we just keep on reading it over and over. It's living and active. It's living and active. How do we know? Because tonight we're going to see this happen. William Machado is going to be restored back to the fellowship. So at this moment, I want William to come on up. Yes, come on up. Yes, you, that William, come on up. I want some of the guys that have been in the studies with us, Ate, Ryan, and who else am I missing? There's somebody else that was there. Lonnie, there you go. I'm looking for you. Come on over here. Come on up. Why this is so important? Why is it so important for not us just to read it, but to see it and live it out? This is how we show our faith. It's not just with words. It's not just with pleasantries, that we see it, we believe it, we live it. That's what it means to walk in the light that we're in right now. And so at this time, I want to turn it over to these men, because these guys can vouch for William. They can vouch for his faithfulness. They can vouch for the man and the character that he's become. And so I want to just turn it over to these guys and let them share. They got to hear you, bro. They got to hear you. It'd be nice to hear you.
All right. Good evening, guys. So we're here. And listen, I am so glad that, you know, to come to know you and to come to just understand the kind of man that you are. Man that I respect, a man that I love, and I really appreciate it. When I think about your journey, you know, in Matthew 7, it says, enter through the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And I feel like you have made the conscious effort to go back to the narrow way. Like you have, you know, in everything that you have done, you have pursued it. You have, you know, been willing to take in, you know, constructive criticism and help. You've been able, you were willing to see it. You've studied the Bible. You've always come diligently. And in everything, it is clear to me that you want this. And I'm so happy for you, man. And I'm so glad we're here. So I want to tell you, I love you, man, and welcome back.
Amen.
Yeah, Will. Will has made some radical changes. We actually saw him each time deciding to make changes after change. I think many times he would open up himself and tell us about some things in which we're like, wow, why are you telling us this? But the reality is, he recognized God's mercy. And I think of Oshae 6, verse 6, where it says that God desires mercy and not sacrifice. And I think many times us as disciples, we tend to push aside people who have fallen away, rather than welcome them and say, no, they still can be loved. And you may be thinking to yourself right now, saying, oh, John or Jane or whoever the person may be who you're thinking of, who have fallen away, and you're like, man, I should have reached out a little bit more to this person. I just want to let you understand that God's love is about mercy more than anything else. And if we can convey that, if we can make others feel that love, you know, people like William will feel it and be back here.
Amen. You know, man,
I'm really, really proud that he has not given up. Yes. And Roxanne, you've been praying endlessly. Roxanne is something in which you see her every week at church when she's here, and you ask her, you know, how are you, Roxanne? And she's like, I'm good. I'll praise the Lord. And I shared with her a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I'm very, very encouraged by it. Amen. You set a great example, and I think Will really saw that.
Amen.
That was
interesting. All right, I had to gather myself. So Will and I go back a long, 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 long.
How long? How long? How long you go back?
And those of you who know my family, a couple of years ago, my wife and I started praying for our adult children. William is an answer to a prayer.
Amen.
When you see people go through stuff, but you know that God has taught them, you know, that scripture, you train a child in the way they go when they are old, they will not depart from it.
Yes.
As William talks to us through his story, the thing that kept feeding through who this man is the character that he had.
Yep.
Even out in the world, in the darkest of times, he was a man that always believed in people, always trust. Even when the world was destroying him, he remained faithful and had that type of character and expected the people around him to behave that way too.
Yes.
So when William and I started talking, you know, he's one of those guys. And he's got a big heart. You guys all see him serving because that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And Roxanne, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because your perseverance,
yep,
has inspired so many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who you are, the way that you persevere, the way that you serve, the foundation that you laid, the rest of us are inspired by it.
Amen.
Did you want to share? Bring it to him.
Come on, Mom.
It's funny, Lonnie, that you believe to refer to me. That the scripture that I had picked out is in Genesis 45, verse 7. It says, but God sent me ahead of you, William, to persevere for you, a remnant on earth, and to save our lives by a great deliverance. Son, I'm so proud of you. And I know this is a decision that you have made. I've seen the ups and the downs. I remember when you got baptized March 25th, 2018. And I'm thankful. We've been through it together. You've lived your life. I've been there with you in prayer. God's happy. The church is happy. Mama's happy. I thank you. I thank God. And I'm very proud of you, son.
Sure, yeah. Only thing I'm going to say is, you know, people say, manners and respect starts at home, and that's very true. But also, learning your relationship with God starts at home.
And
I'm grateful for my mom. Thank you. I wouldn't be here without her.
Amen. Let's pray.
Dear God, we're just so grateful for the ways you've worked in William's life, even the lesson tonight, and just the hope and inspiration that there is, Father, in knowing how you are a redeeming God. You want to bring us back to that place of gratitude, that place of hope, and that place of relationship with you. We thank you, Father, for these decisions and the ways you've worked in William's life and the ways he's responded to you and to your word and to the covenant and to the sacrifice and making this decision to be back into the fellowship and all the things that the brothers have helped him with, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this time here. We pray you continue to watch over our fellowship. We pray for every single individual that's become a part of this fellowship that's struggling in any way right now, Lord God, that many could be restored, that all of us could be built up, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for this time to be together. We pray this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.